You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Live and local right now with County Supervisor Ryan Gregory joining us now via telephone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Barry. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Taylor's here as well.
Hey, hey.
Hey, Taylor.
And we want to talk with you a little bit about a couple of main topics. I'm not sure which one to begin with. Let's start with the storm. We have that condition that, you know, it's a few years back, I used to think this was a Southern California problem. The fires followed by the heavy rains and then the landslides and stuff. Last few rainy seasons, it's become, you know, the fire seasons, it's become our problem up here as well. So what has the county been doing in terms of preparation? I know everybody's ready for this mentally, but physical preparation, is there anything that can be done?
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now behind the scenes that I hope makes the public feel more comfortable going into these big storms. I remember 2017, if you remember, you know, most of our first experience with a big fire. And then I think it took about 5 weeks to get our first rain. And we were all sitting around with bated breath wondering what's going to happen, right? And it sort of worked out. We didn't really have any major debris flow or sedimentation from our fire zones. In this case, I'm optimistic in the same way because of the preparations we've taken. So in terms of the fire areas, it's true. We still have a lot of ash and debris removal to go. Some stats for you. There are 609 parcels where structural ash and debris needed to be removed from our two fires this year. Of those 609, 12 have been completed and 62 have been done but haven't been cleared through testing yet. So there's about 74 that are kind of done, but that leaves quite a few that still have to be done. So what we did early on, and this was, you know, weeks ago, is our WERT, which is our Watershed Emergency Response Team, went out and looked at all the fire zones and the affected properties and honed that list down to about 78 that we call values at risk. And these are sites that do have anywhere from a low to a moderate to a high risk of debris flow or flooding resulting from the fire. So we've whittled that down to 78. We know we've got to watch through these storms. And the way we do that, the way we're ready for, you know, watching and responding is first, all our public works staff are available and all on call during an event like this. It's common, you know, an event like this, that our public works folks work all night long and are ready all night long and are out in the rain all night long working for us. So that's not uncommon. So that'll happen. All our equipment is operational and staged all around the county, as opposed to normally they'd be, you know, at one corp yard or the other. We've moved them all around, so they're sort of ready to deploy. Did as much ditching and culvert maintenance as we could before this, but our regular sort of winter prep, you know, was hampered by the fire response our public works crew had to do. Round-the-clock communication, and then, like I said, watching the high-risk areas and being ready to respond.
I'm sorry. I just got caught on the fact that we have a committee called WERC, and all I kept thinking was, WERC, do. Like, if only we had more committees with cool names like
right?
that.
They're like dance moves?
Yeah, I just was into Hamilton right there. I don't know why it made me... You lost me at work.
These guys don't get a lot of attention, so they had to come up with a cool name for themselves.
Right? I mean, cool. That's awesome.
They should have an Instagram account, maybe a TikTok.
Right? They should. Right. I would watch.
In terms of... the difference between, say, a rock slide or a landslide that can occur any rainy season versus debris flow, these are different things. Can you speak to that a little bit and the danger, the impacts, environmental negative impacts of the debris flow?
Well, debris flow, I think we all remember Santa Barbara in 2017, you know, that was their second disaster. And there's fear and talk of that right now in other counties affected by fire this last season, like Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. You know, that's being people worrying about that in Santa Cruz County. We're different here. We don't have these you know, the fire areas are such that they're just not as deep and they're not as exposed and they're just not as open to that kind of debris flow. So I think we'll see some sedimentation, some erosion. In a lot of these areas, we've already placed, erosion control measures around, with a particular emphasis up at Lake Berryessa and, anywhere around a municipal reservoir where you want to be real careful. So a lot of erosion control measures have been put in place. It won't stop some of the sedimentation and erosion, but it should keep it from, going too far.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like we were in 2017, I feel, we will be in good shape.
It's always worthwhile. We try to remember to remind people, do you have batteries for your flashlight? Do you have batteries for your radio? There's a potential for electrical failures tonight during this high wind.
Mm-hmm.
You just got a new radio?
I got my... It's not a CB radio,
You stole one.
Yeah. Well, I didn't steal it. My mother said I could have it.
Okay,
so
good.
I took it from her, but that's not stealing.
There's still some time today if you need to make a trip to the store for batteries and whatnot. The county has plenty of emergency prep resources, of course.
Well, I saw sandbags were out and available.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sandbags stations are out and about, and those worried about, regional flooding should definitely go stock up.
Okay. Let's get into Purple Tier. Literally, we are in the Purple Tier. Some people are probably still discovering the news that our status has changed.
So abrupt.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Did it come as a surprise to you and other members of the board?
It did. And I was, we've been talking, we've been having, Zoom meetings with chambers of commerce and the business community over the last month or two. And it was asked about 2 weeks ago of me, how much notice will we get? And I was sort of guessing at the time. I said, hey, based on sort of how Sacramento County went, or the Sacramento region, which is just one day they woke up and they were out of the regional stay-at-home order, I said, don't be surprised if it's that abrupt. And it was. Our staff were on an urgency call late Sunday. That's where they got their first hint of it, and awaiting confirmation Monday, which came early in the morning, and that was that. Things were open. And I went to one of my favorite places last night, Hop Creek. They were open for dinner, and I talked to the manager, who says, yeah, I was coming into work, to get ready for a day of takeout orders and learn on the drive to work that we could be open today. And then the owners called him and said, you're not just going to be open for dinner, you're going to be open for lunch. So he had to set the tables out and call some people in, and he was open again.
Away they went.
Yeah.
And so it was that abrupt. Yeah. And I guessed it would be.
Yeah, I walked around downtown yesterday. I passed Alegria and, all the restaurants in that area, and was kind of looking in to see if anybody was prepping, getting ready. But I think it was still too early. It was like 10:30.
Yeah, some jumped quickly. Mm-hmm. Quite a few, in fact.
Well, you posted asking who was going to be open. You got quite a few entertaining comments from people saying their porches were available.
Yeah. So do we have any confidence? I was talking about this earlier, but...
That we'll stay?
Yeah, that we'll stay where we are or move forward and not continually be slipping back again. What are your thoughts on that?
My crystal ball is telling me that the stay-at-home order... it's the thing is, we'll never know, right? But did it sort of save the day for our hospital system through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's? I bet it did. I bet if we could go back and look at alternative scenarios, that it was necessary. But I believe it's, the other thing it highlighted was when we closed certain businesses, case rates didn't go down. The thing didn't de-escalate the way you maybe would hope with a fairly dramatic stay-at-home order. So that left like restaurants in particular, who were just doing outdoor dining at the time, saying, hey, maybe that shows that we weren't the problem.
Yeah.
And I believe that's, that all that's swirling around right now. So I don't believe we go back into any kind of a stay-at-home order.
I don't believe we will either. I think we're out. Well, at least I'm being positive out.
And everybody feels, I haven't heard anybody really disagree strongly with the feeling that we've all done as much as we can, you know, and keep wearing masks, keep washing your hands, but let's let business resume to whatever degree we can, right? Like, we've sacrificed enough. Isn't that sort of the general feeling?
Yeah. And the stay-at-home order was brutal, this last one. It came at a terrible time for all of us, especially businesses. But it was finally the first time any kind of framework was linked to ICU capacity, which is a real thing. Look, if our ICU beds are all taken up and sick people are going to die because they can't get attention, that's a problem. So we all got that, but now we're through it. So if we continue to watch ICU capacity, and I think frameworks in the future need to be tied to the hospital system, because we know this is going to be around till we're all vaccinated, and that shutting down barbershops and outdoor dining at restaurants isn't going to save the day.
It does feel like we should be able to learn, like you said, from what clearly has caused surges. It's been the holidays, which is not about outdoor dining or barbershops, right? It's been about gatherings. And a lot of people have talked about the counterintuitive idea that when you close a restaurant, people then have parties at home. We talked about this last week, didn't we? Right?
Yeah, with the gentleman from the coalition that was suing Governor Newsom, he made some really valid points that not only guests who would be patronizing a restaurant, but also the employees. They're not at work. They're not just going to sit at home. A lot of them are younger, so they're going to gather on their own time and in their own right.
You mentioned the vaccination situation and
vaccination situation. We should make a rap or a song out of that. That was good. I'm a little punchy this morning.
You're in a mood today.
I am.
We'll explore that more later. But the question is, it seems like everyone from Supervisor Pedroza last week to Dr. Relucio just yesterday on the show, and anybody else that I've heard quoted, is very frustrated that Napa County feels like it has infrastructure in place to do a lot more vaccine than we have supply for. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, there's this grand hope we had maybe two or three weeks ago when the state put out their million shots, by the end of this week. That meant 10,000 shots here in Napa. So we put our hand out and we said, we're ready to receive those. So we built this big infrastructure, ready to do 10,000, not just that week, but like we had no reason to believe that we wouldn't, at some point see 10,000 every week from that there forward. So we built this big machine and we put our hand out and said, hey, we're ready, and we only got about 4,000 that week. We didn't get 10,000. And what we've gotten since is only a couple hundred since then per week. So here's where we are now is we're ready. The minute we get the vaccines we need, we are ready to put them in arms. But the reality is right now, what I just learned yesterday in talking to Dr. Relucio is we have enough doses right now to complete today's test vaccine appointments and half a day tomorrow, and then we're out. And when the supplies we expect to get in the next few weeks pretty much have to be then dedicated to second doses. So it's looking like we won't be able to do any new vaccinations for some time. It may be a week or two or something, but that's what we're seeing right now. So it's a terrible situation that now we've got to. And the other challenge is like we went along, we followed the guidelines. We weren't told to stockpile for the second dose, right? They said use all these up and more on the way, right? So we just kind of went. And so in hindsight, maybe we should have held back, stockpiled a little bit for that second dose. So that'll be the challenge for us, this week and next. And just a reminder for everybody, every Board of Supervisors meeting, right around 9 o'clock, we get a really thorough report from Dr. Ruliscio. It's about an hour long with Q&A from us and the public. And it's a great way, sort of most Tuesdays, to check in and get like totally up to speed. And that'll be coming up here at 9 this morning when we start our meeting.
Oh, great.
And you can go to countyofnapa.org and locate that meeting and participate in it remotely.
Yep.
What else? We got about 2 minutes left. We covered the big stories of the moment. What else is taking up your time these days?
Well, we, you know, business goes on at the county. We've still got everything else to do. I think one of the more interesting things coming up is our housing mandate from the state. We've got our RENA numbers now. In fact, we got a set of numbers about a month ago, and we filed not an appeal, but we kind of filed a letter saying, hey, we're not sure your methodology makes sense. And we just got newer numbers, and they're bigger.
Oh, great.
so that's coming, and it's going to be a really interesting exercise. And I think it's going to take the county and our four cities and town to really come together, support each other. I think we've all got to find zoning and density in our own jurisdictions, but we can be there to support each other. And in particular, the county is already planning on sharing some of ours with American Canyon, Napa, and a few of the other cities. So our housing element efforts coming up across the board will be really interesting. And I think we'll cause some potential tension as it relates to growth issues. So that's coming. That'll be a big story, I think, this year. And we've got to have it done pretty much next summer and have all the environmental stuff done. So a lot of work coming up on that.
What is that actual number, the newest number?
Ours is up to 1,000. It was 180 last time.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 180.
That's a huge jump.
Yeah. Yep. It's mainly due to the revised methodology, equity issues, and I think Napa County sort of, in cycles past, remember these cycles are 8 years long. In cycles past, we've been able to sort of say, well, we've got an ag preserve and we're wine country, so we don't have land zone for residential, so you can just leave us alone, right? And that kind of worked for a while, but now the state's saying, no, you've got to you got to pitch in to the Bay Area's growth, just like your 8 Bay Area county sisters. So, so that's happening too. That kind of change in sentiment as it relates to our county being different. So, that's all coming around.
All right, really, really good information from County Supervisor Ryan Gregory this morning. And again, the Board of Supervisors meeting starts in about half an hour. If you want to listen in on the latest from Dr. Ruliscio,
yeah, better work on that.
Work.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you later.
Bye, Ryan.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.